This is the reflection for Sunday, the 7th of June, 2020. Last week we celebrated Pentecost Sunday and we looked at the scenario that led to the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples of Jesus as they gathered together. And today we continue to look at the gift of the Holy Spirit and we consider how the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost and what happens as a result of that. And we begin today by reading from the start of chapter 2 in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Well, what a wonderful scene, first of all, that we have these disciples who not so long ago had been hiding away after Christ's death, had come and been taught by Jesus again at the resurrection, and no doubt had been sad and contemplating what would happen next after Jesus had ascended to sit at the right hand side of his Father in heaven. And they sat and they waited for this promised gift. One, a person that would be sent to them. A person, a force, a power, the Holy Spirit. And I suppose they wondered, having not experienced it before, what it would look like, what it would feel like. What would change for them? Was this to be something subtle? How long should they wait? Is there anything they could do to facilitate the Holy Spirit's coming? All of these questions running through their mind, but they sat and they waited. And when the Holy Spirit did come, there could be no doubt that it had come. This wasn't a subtle enlightening to the ways of God. This wasn't some opaque, obscure interaction they had with something, some benign force. It was a very real force, a very real presence, as real as having the person of Christ standing alongside them. The Holy Spirit to them was to have a person speaking into them, empowering them. It was familiar because it would have felt like having Jesus alongside them. And when it came, they were like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them all. They had a very physical image, a very physical experience. And it tells us that when we engage with the Holy Spirit, we can expect it to be a physical experience. And all of them were to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And this tells us that when we experience the Holy Spirit, the power and the awesomeness of God working through us, that we can expect God to do things through us that we think are impossible or out of our reach. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem when they experienced all this. And near them were God-fearing Jews, because Jerusalem was the centre and people would come on pilgrimage to that place. And then when they heard this sound, we hear that they were surprised, they were bewildered, they were utterly amazed. And they heard these disciples speaking in their own language, even though they were Galileans. The gospel was reaching people, cutting down barriers that it seemed might be impossible to break down. And that's another lesson for the church today. It may seem like there are so many barriers in the world today. I get disheartened so often at how secular our country has become, and how affronted people are at the truth of the gospel and the moral teachings that come from God about sinfulness. And it feels like there's almost confrontation going on, and you think, how can the gospel penetrate? Well, at least we speak the same language. If God could break the barrier of language so that the gospel is understood, God can break down other barriers so that people are challenged and understand the loving, beautiful gospel that explains who Jesus is, why he came, and what he did. And even in these earliest times, even as the Holy Spirit worked for the first time amongst his church, amongst his disciples, even though the things that are happening are utterly amazing, already in verse 13, some are making fun of them, saying they had had too much wine. And this is another lesson, the third lesson today for the church. There will always be people who mock, always be people who make fun of you for your faith, for your beliefs. There will always be people who doubt. But if we rely on God's Holy Spirit, not on our own strength, but on God's Holy Spirit, we can rise above it. It doesn't matter what people think about us. It doesn't matter how the church is perceived if it is on false premises. All that matters is that the church is the body of Christ that allows the Holy Spirit to live through it, that we are used to awaken people to the truth of the gospel. And no amount of being made fun of would stop these disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit from preaching the gospel, the book of Acts, the epistles that are shared, a testament to how they went out preaching the gospel and relenting to the nations. It started on this day when the Holy Spirit came, and it continues to this day. Let the Holy Spirit live in your life. Have a relationship with him. Do not fear. Allow yourself to be amazed. And see God at work in the church and in his world today. Amen.